Answers to Energy Quest's Spotlight being brought to you by Vans Refrigeration Service.
Cumulus Broadcasting is proud to present the only show of its kind in the Fox Valley designed to save you money on energy. Welcome to Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight. Here's your host, Bill Schultz.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight. At Bill Schultz once again at the helm as we talk about how we can save you some money on energy. And I think what we do week in and week out on this show is dispel a lot of rumors, a lot of myths that people have about certain types of technology. Because as this day and age, the technology is moving so fast that it's so hard to keep up with it, and you tend to get lost. And a lot of times when you get lost with technology, you stay behind the times, and you can really lose out, especially when you're talking about energy efficiency, you can lose out on energy efficiency. And one of the things that is very true when it comes to that is in the world of geothermal. So I wanted to have Tom Van Kouwenberg, who is, he's been with us before from Vans Refrigeration Services. Tom, welcome first off. Nice to have you here.
Thanks, Bill.
Let's address, and I think you would agree, that when it comes to geothermal, there's a lot of people, and I know when we have our expos and we have our show with the home and outdoor living show that we're having with Answers to Energy coming up in January, you're going to see a lot of people come up to your booth or come up to booths and say, what's going on with geothermal? Explain it to me. How do you explain it simply to people who don't know much about it?
Well, you start with the very basics. Basically, we start by burying a maze of tubing underground, and then we use what's called a geothermal heat pump, which is a large refrigeration system, to absorb the heat energy from that loop system or from the ground outside. We condense it or compress it into a high pressure, high temperature, and in that aspect, we can now deliver it to the home as hot air or hot water, depending upon the distribution you have.
Dependability when it comes to geothermal. How dependable is it?
If it's installed correctly, it's extremely dependable. We've got systems, for instance, my uncle started doing geo in 1981. The first system he purchased is still running today.
Hmm.
So it's a refrigeration system. As long as you've got the correct airflow, the correct water flow, the correct sizing for the structure, it has a very long lifespan. The average lifespan of a geo system is 24 years, which is about double that over a conventional gas furnace.
And I think that is one of the things that a lot of people don't quite understand about geothermal is there have been a lot of stories out there about geothermal not working correctly. And I know, having been in the business as long as you have, you go out and you do a lot of repairs on the systems that just aren't working.
Yep, we do quite a few.
What are some of the common things that you find when you do this?
Well, that kind of depends upon the manufacturer and depends upon the installation. One of the things I've found over my years is undersized loop systems. If the loop is not sized correctly for the geothermal system or for the house itself, the loop gets cold. The colder the loop gets, the lower the capacity of the system. Not to say the system's going to shut off or stop working, just does not have the capacity to give you the geothermal heating your house requires, which, in turn, causes the auxiliary heat or a secondary system to come on, and it drives the cost of the operation up.
So is the loop system, there's too much loops or not enough?
Not enough. Yeah.
So when you have enough loops in your loop system for geothermal, why do you need the proper amount of loops? What's happening there?
Well, that's where you're absorbing the heat energy from the ground, okay? A refrigeration system is going to go get heat. It basically moves heat from one point to the next, mm-hmm. and that's basically what a refrigeration system will do. Even your household refrigerator moves heat from inside the cabinet to the outside of the cabinet. Mm-hmm. That's all it's basically doing. In a refrigeration or in a heat pump scenario, we're taking it from the ground, moving it into the home. What you have to understand about the loop system is we're looking for a difference of temperature between the ground and the loop fluid to be able to absorb heat energy. The greater the difference, the faster it absorbs the heat energy. The problem is when you have an undersized loop system, you can only absorb so many BTUs per square foot of ground per a minute, per hour, per whatever length of time you want to give it. And once you've frozen that ground, once you've actually taken all the heat out that you can and it's turned to ice, ice acts more as an insulator than it does as a transfer. So it will actually slow the process of absorbing the heat energy from the ground in that undersized loop system as it's freezing.
Got it. Now the other side is, can you have too many loops? Is that a bad thing?
Having too many loops is counterproductive because now you have pumping costs. If you oversize the loop system, you're going to end up oversizing your flow center or your circulation pump to the loop system. When you do that, you increase the pumping cost by whatever factor it is.
And it's got to work harder.
It's got to work harder, and you just don't see the savings that you should.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tom Van Kouwenberg with us from Vans Refrigeration Services, and the number is 869-2196, 869-2196. And let me go along with that, Tom, as far as a myth there, because a lot of people say, and you mentioned the frozen tundra that we have here in the Green Bay area. Why do some people think that it doesn't work? Because this insulation has been put in wrong? Is it not as many loops? Is it not too deep? What's the problem with the frozen ground?
Normally, it's improper sizing for the house. It starts with a manual J calculation, a heat study.
Okay.
That's where I start every sales appointment, was with a print of the house, a measure up of the house. You have to look at all the windows, all the insulating factors on the walls, all the doors. You have to take all the different construction characteristics into account and do a complete heat study.
I've heard about this heat study, but because I want to stop you. Exactly what is it? What are you doing? Do you have devices that you're measuring things, or what are you doing?
Basically, you measure the house.
Okay.
Each room dimension, the wall dimension, ceiling heights. You want to know the thickness of the wall. You try to figure out, to the best of your abilities in existing homes, you try to figure out what the wall cavity insulation is. You look up in the attic, actually measure the insulation. You're trying to figure out what the heat loss on the structure is going to be at the coldest points and what the heat gain on the structure is going to be during the summer hours. Once we have the measurings, okay, once we have all the measurements, I have a program on a computer that you put all of this into, and it tells you what the heat loss is or what the heat gain is. There's also a manual way of doing it, which I learned in school, of course, with a very long piece of paper and several sheets of paper and a lot of time, energy, handwritten calculations.
Long division.
Long division, long multiplication, long hours.
We don't want that.
but there is the hand method of doing it. Uh-huh. It's tedious.
Mm-hmm.
The computer makes it much quicker.
Now, when you do that, are you pretty accurate, or do you still need, once you put the system in, do you still need to do a little tweaking?
I feel like I'm pretty accurate. I've been doing it for many years.
Okay.
It's some of a heat study. You have to look at an existing home, and you've got this item called infiltration. A lot of people maybe don't understand what infiltration is, but infiltration is the ability for the house to absorb outside air. Okay, it infiltrates into the home. It is a large portion of the heat study. Okay, some houses, newer construction, recently remodeled, depending upon all of the little cracks that they've sealed up, have a very low infiltration rate, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Other houses, older farmhouses, anything of that nature. Old farmhouses is the most common in Wisconsin.
But old structure.
Historical buildings, you know, that things of that nature will have a higher infiltration rate, which means you have a little larger heat load. You have to compensate for that. And that takes some experience and some time in the field looking at the different types of structures you're working with.
Vans Refrigeration with us on Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight. Again, the number is 869-2196, 869-2196. Another thing that people think about when geothermal comes to mind is, you had mentioned it, that the system for geothermal is kind of always running, whereas a conventional heating system, a furnace system, goes on and off, on and off, on and off. And so because a geothermal system kind of runs consistently, the thought is it's always running, so it's way too expensive because it's always running. So explain that.
Well, that boils down to some more mathematics.
Okay.
What you have to understand about a geothermal heat pump is a small item called a COP. It's a coefficient of performance. Basically, it boils down to, for every kilowatt worth of heat energy you pay for, the heat pump is going to deliver, depending upon the brand, type, size, style, between 2 and 5 kilowatts worth of heat energy to the home.
Okay.
Which means you're basically between 200 and 500% efficient. If you compare that to a gas furnace, that's 95% efficient.
Mm-hmm.
You're well above where you want to be.
Yeah.
That is the basics on how geothermal can save you basically money over term. On the average, over current LP prices, I see customers saving anywhere from $800 to $1,500 a year.
Mm-hmm.
You take that $800 to $1,500, and over a course of 7 or 8 years, the geothermal system will pay for the difference between a conventional installation and a geo installation.
There you go.
That is the return on investment that I try to explain to people.
Well put. Tom Van Kallenberg with us. Vans Refrigeration Services, again, 869-2196 is the number to get in touch. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk about, the technology of geothermal, which it's been around for a long time, but now there's even more technology. So that's what I'm saying before when I opened things up was like, you really have to stay with the times. We're going to talk about how you can really control and see some of this stuff right from your phone, believe it or not. We'll talk about that right after this.
He who hesitates saves big.
Ray Farmer, president of American Metal Roofs of Northern Wisconsin.
So, you need a new roof, but you've been putting it off, and you probably think it's too late to do anything this year, right? Well, not exactly. You see, every fall there are always a few weeks when we can still sell and install some more roofs. So, I'm going to make your hesitation pay off for you. Here's the deal. This month we're offering a manufacturer's rebate of up to $5,000 based on the size of your roof. Through the end of the month, I'm going to match that rebate, which means you can save up to $10,000. Up to $10,000? I must be crazy. Okay, I'm only offering this double rebate through Monday, the 31st. Call today and take advantage of my temporary insanity. Up to $10,000? What was I thinking?
The bigger your roof, the bigger your rebate. Save up to $10,000 for a very limited time. Call us at 920-434-4200 or visit
Welcome back. We are talking with Vans Refrigeration Services. Tom Van Kallenberg here with us, who is out there, out on the streets, man. You're working it. Matter of fact, before you came in, you're doing a job, and you're moving your men from one spot to the other. This is the time of year, I would imagine, where it's crunch time. You can work all year round pretty much, but this is the time when people are starting to panic a little bit about their heating bill that it's about to be coming.
Yep, we finally saw frost once, and now everybody thinks about the heating season.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we know it's happening. Why does that always, you know, like no one does anything until the frost. It's like, oh, I think we, yeah, gee, did you not think that we were going to have cold weather here
exactly.
in Wisconsin or something? But let's talk about, I mentioned that before the break, the technology of today, because when you are talking about geothermal, you're talking about the efficiency of your unit and how well you can work. And up until now, a lot of times, it's just good faith that you put into your tech who's installed geothermal and say, yeah, it's working fine. But you were telling me before that now you really can see how it's working.
Yeah. Water Furnace has developed a complete energy monitoring system. With their newer heat pumps, you can connect it right to the internet, right to the web. From your smartphone, tablet, computer, you can track up to 12 months worth of energy analysis. It'll show you the different stages of the heat pump in operation. It'll break it down by kilowatt hour. It breaks it down by dollar spent. It's a really, really neat system. And with that, you can also, if you travel, you can keep track of your house. If something happens, you can set certain thresholds that if the house temperature dips too far, it alerts you. Things like the ability to control it. So you decide you're coming home from vacation 3 days early. Well, the house is still set at 45 degrees. Well, you flip out your phone and you crank it up to 60. By the time you get home, it's nice and toasty.
Nice.
A lot of people who travel for the winter down to Florida and Arizona enjoy it. People with cottages up north, they seem to enjoy it quite a bit because they're not there every weekend. They're not there every day. So they can monitor and keep an eye on things before, you know, anything detrimental happens to the whole house.
Nice. So this system, you have to buy a new system from Water Furnace, and they hook it up, and then you hook it up with your computer, and you can either watch on your laptop or your desktop or your phone.
Right.
All those possibilities.
Absolutely.
And you can just control it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That is cool. I know when we first talk about geothermal, the savings, a lot of times is the broad savings. You can save from 30 to 70%. That's a huge window. Why such a big window? I'm going to guess it's because of what kind of heating system you have prior to, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, like, let's talk about the low end and the high end. What's the low end and what's the high end as far as former heating systems you use?
Well, typically your natural gas is your, as of right now, your least expensive heating fuel source.
Okay.
So against natural gas, that's where you're going to see the 25 to 30% savings on most installations. LP, we're a little bit more expensive than natural gas. So with the LP, you're looking at a 40%, maybe a 50% savings, but it's the fuel oil. That's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
People who still have the oil furnaces, the oil boilers, they're the ones who stand to save the most annually by upgrading to geothermal. There's still a few people out there in the world that still have electric baseboard or electric furnaces and whatnot. Electricity is a pretty expensive way to heat your home unless you can make it 500% efficient. That's where the geothermal heat pump can come in. So now if you've got a full electric house, you've got no gas piped in, you've got no oil tank in the basement, you're really looking at doing some remodeling just to get anything brought in, geothermal is an efficient, effective solution for that particular installation.
And geothermal, too, handles both the heating of the house and the cooling of the house. And I think a lot of people just, I don't think they forget, but they fail to realize that when you're dealing with a furnace, you've got a furnace, then you've got an air conditioner, central air conditioning unit. You've got two separate units that you've got to maintain, you've got to keep up. Geothermal does it all.
That is correct. Plus, anytime the heat pump's functioning, it's also producing hot water, keeping your water heater from operating as much as well.
Wow. Okay. So again, I didn't think of that. When you're talking about geothermal and running things properly, the comfort level of people, I find it surprising when I talk to people who have geothermal that on a conventional house, you may have your temperature at, you know, 72, 74 degrees, depending on what your geothermal tends to be on the lower side. Is that correct?
Typically, the geothermal system runs more often and runs longer stretches, which mm-hmm. means it's mixing the air in the house more thoroughly. That means you don't have the cold spots like you normally would, so you wouldn't need to keep the temperature as high. The whole house is a nice even 72 degrees instead of having 74 in the room where the thermostat's located and 72 in the room next door where you're sitting reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that's where geothermal can actually save on your energy bill by keeping the set point in most homes a little bit lower. We did an installation this last year, the year before, for my excavator. We finally got his heat pump put in for him, and his wife was absolutely tickled pink with it because now their front room, she could never sit in their front room. They actually bought a little electric heater for her to be able to sit in the front room and turn this heater on and stay warm while she was reading books. And, of course, that's the room with the big windows that face the woods and
sure.
the area you want to sit in and read, right?
Sure.
Well, since they put the geothermal system in, they've gotten rid of the little electric heater, and she can sit in the front room, and it's very comfortable, and she's very happy with it. So,
Tom Van Kouwenberg with us from Vans Refrigeration Services, and again, the number is 869-2196. What has to be done for a geothermal system to come into the house? Do you pull out the furnace and the air conditioning unit and trash it? Do you use them as backup? What has to be done?
Every installation is different. Because geothermal does both heating and cooling, as you mentioned, the air conditioning system can be pulled out, sold, recycled, whatever, depending upon the age of it, whatever can be done with it. The furnace, however, if it's not all that old or if it's to be used as a backup system, a lot of our, or some of our locations, a lot of my customers enjoy a dual fuel rate. On the dual fuel rate, you have to have a fossil-fired automated backup system so that when they do turn off the geothermal system, they still have heat in the home. So we utilize their gas furnace a lot of times as a distribution. Basically, it's nothing more than a fan. Comes on rarely when it ever needs to.
Mm-hmm.
Some customers prefer to keep that gas furnace. We just bought it. It's only 3 or 4 years old. Whatever the case is, they still want the geothermal, but they're comfortable, more comfortable having that gas backup instead of the conventional electric backup that we would normally put into geothermal systems.
What is the number one reason why people want geothermal? Is it just to save money, or is it the fossil fuel thing? It's the uncertainty of the cost of fuel. What is it?
Yes.
All of it.
All of it.
Okay. Yeah.
The saving money is definitely what they look at. The 30% tax incentives that's ending at the end of this year is definitely a turn on to a lot of people. But to some, and these are the people that I try to run into, it's about the environmental impact of the geothermal system, lowering your carbon credits, not having a something burning in your house, not bringing the fresh air in and drying the house out in the wintertime. All these different things to certain customers really, really hit home, and they like that about the geothermal. It's more consistent, more efficient. It's just lowering your carbon footprint. I mean, I would go on different different things. But everybody has their own real reason why they want the geothermal system. Some people are on the fence. They don't know if they want the geothermal system until they sit down and actually run the numbers and sit down with somebody who knows how to explain the system correctly to them. Then it just makes sense.
Do you find when you go out and meet with people, and I'm gonna guess that they're getting other quotes from other people, that they're still, even after other people have visited them, they're still uninformed? They still don't know all the things that they need to know, or do they get bad information? Are you seeing that?
On and off. In my opinion, no information is bad information. You mm-hmm. can get misinformation, and there's a lot of that on the internet. This is where people start. They look on the internet. They try to figure it out for themselves. It's an okay place to start and get an idea of what it's about and what it is and who to call. But your best bet is to contact a professional, somebody that can do it, understand it, has been doing it for many years, and get them in there to explain the system to you.
Yeah, and I find, too, you can find whatever you want on the internet. I mean, you could if you're looking that you want to find out that geothermal is a bad thing, you'll find it.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's real easy. It's real easy to do that. Does anything from the consumer standpoint, Tom? We're talking about vent work, duct work, anything like that. Anything has to be changed when geothermal comes into the scene?
Again, every installation is different. You need to keep an eye on your contractor, or I shouldn't even say keep an eye on, do your research on your contractor ahead of time. In certain situations, you may have to do some modifications.
Okay.
99% of the time, no, there's very little modifications necessary. In certain instances, there's a lot of modifications necessary. If you have a house that's all hydronic baseboard heat and no air conditioning, well, now we may end up adding some ductwork for air conditioning purposes if you're interested in it. Or, in my experience, we put some small fan coils strategically located through the house that actually can recover the condensator to the condensate. Yeah, I said it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Recover the condensate from the air conditioning process and drain it away. Some people, I've heard it over the years, why can't you just run cold water out through my baseboard? Well, we can, and if you want wet floors.
yeah.
Condensate will happen.
It will.
So, you know, knowing your contractor, educating yourself about your contractor, contacting some of his installations, some of his customers, it's all good things to do to make sure, you know what you're getting into.
Yeah, yeah. And it's always good to just get well informed, and that's why I wanted to bring Tom in, Tom Van Kouwenberg, here with Vans Refrigeration Services, and this is the time we're all, you know, thinking about it. Okay, when is a good time for geothermal? And your answer is anytime. Give him a call. 869-2196, that's 869-2196. Tom, always good seeing you. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you for listening to Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight. Listen next week as we spotlight another business and show you ways to save hundreds and thousands of dollars on energy. If you would like to be a guest on Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight, please call 230-0801 and speak with Bill Schultz.
Being brought to you by Vans Refrigeration Services.